vows on Praise.
Good morning to all our friends listening to our show this morning. My name is Marcos Mercado, and I'm here along with my wife, Amaryllis.
Good morning.
And we are grateful that you decided to join us today on Marriage Beyond the Vows. Our hope and prayer is that today's show will enrich, empower, and encourage you. The topic of this morning is the temperature of your marriage. Is your marriage hot, cold, or lukewarm? We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-995-7644 if you're in the Charlotte area, or 215-263-1039 in Philadelphia. And as usual, we'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Our God in heaven, we are so grateful for marriage. We're grateful for relationships, Father, and we're grateful that you guide us and you give us so many scriptures and so many people in our lives to be able to encourage us so that we can have great marriages and great families so that we can bring glory to you. We love you, God, and we pray, Father, that you will be with our show in a special way, be with all our hearts, all our minds, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Man, our theme scripture for this morning is Revelation chapter 3. And it begins, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And this morning, we want to relate to this this passage to our marriages, to our relationships. And what we want to ask is, you know, what is the climate of your marriage? Is it ice cold? Is it sizzling hot? Or is it stagnant warm? You know, the Message translation says, you know, is your relationship, or it says, is it stale or stagnant? And we know that this passage is referring to our relationship with God, but equally the way that it can relate to our relationship with God, our love for one another can also grow cold. It could also become stagnant. And so we want to hear from you this morning and give us a call. Now, honey, what do you think is the climate of our relationship this morning?
My goal and my prayer is always to make sure that it's sizzling hot. And it definitely takes a lot of work because I got to constantly make sure that I'm working on me and that I'm doing everything in my part to make sure that it is what it needs to be and what it should be.
Okay. Well, you know, it is honest, and thank you for being honest and open, especially this morning here on the air. You know, it's not easy to always have your marriage sizzling hot. You know, Hollywood or you know, the soaps on television, or, you know, just it's easy to put up a facade and say, oh, you know, our marriage is always great, it's always hot, things are always doing well. But you know what? That's not reality. You know, the reality is that you got to keep working on it. And there are times where you can have just a great connection, you know, not just physical relationship, but just when everything emotionally is just in sync. And, you know, that's great. I love it, honey, when you and I are just so close that it seems like you can almost finish my sentence, or I could almost finish your sentence. You know, we're really in sync. You know, we're praying together. We're close. We're on the same sheet of music. But it seems like there's sometimes where that's not the case. And so we pray to God and we get help, and we always aim to have that marriage that is sizzling hot. And yet there are times, and unfortunately, as we counsel couples many times, you know, we hear people saying, you know, we don't love each other anymore. You know, we're not in love anymore. You know, and what do you think, honey, when people just come to us and they say, we're not in love anymore, we're out of love?
I think that it's like anything. Whatever you put into it is whatever you're going to get out of it. And I think that a lot of times couples start on the right foot or with the right expectation, God being the center. But then at some point, the expectation becomes the other person. So if the other person doesn't do, then I'm not going to go above and beyond what I need to do or make sure that they're putting enough effort in their marriage. And I think that it starts getting cold because they start making it a focus and the other person becomes the focus rather than themselves.
That is true. I know that we worked on a list here. We have 10 things that you're able to kind of used to measure where the climate of your marriage is. And this is also a great list to say, okay, wait a minute, if I want my marriage to be sizzling hot again, I need to go back and start doing these things. And it's a lot of the things that you probably did, and I'm sure you did, at the beginning of your relationship, when you were courting each other, when you were falling in love. I'm sure there are a lot of these things that you did. And if you look back, you're saying, wow, it's been so long, perhaps. Or, you know what, I remember when I used to do those things, and perhaps now is not as easy. Perhaps mm-hmm. it's even what you're talking about, honey, when you're saying, you know, maybe it's a tit for tat. You know, wait a minute, you didn't do this, so I'm mm-hmm. not doing this. Or, you know what, when's the last time you encouraged me? So I'm not going to encourage you. I'm not going to go above and beyond. So do you want to mention just a few of these? And throughout the show,
sure.
we'll go ahead, and we won't give you the whole 10 right away, but we do want you to continue to listen. And we also want to encourage you, if you are a little shy, you don't want to be able to hear your voice, or you don't want anyone to hear you on the airwaves, you could always go and friend us on Facebook, post something on our wall. Just find Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook, or you can go to our website, praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com, search for Marriage Beyond the Vows, and send us a message. Later on in the show, we plan to go through a few emails and a few of your responses on online. But we also want to hear from you physically. Call us. Pick up the phone. Whether you're driving around or you know, pull over a little bit before you dial, go ahead and call us up. Or, you know, if you're home and you're like, oh, I don't know, you know, I just got up this morning. You know, we do want to hear from you. We want to know what is the temperature of your marriage. So once again, if you're in Charlotte, call us at 877-995-7644 or 215-263-1039 in the Philadelphia area. So, honey, you want to go through a few of these?
Definitely.
This list here?
Number one, you know, the first one is call each other during the day, whether it is, you know, not modern day technology. Now you could text, you could send an email. I mean, there's so many ways to stay in touch, you know, to make sure that throughout the day that you stay connected with your spouse.
So you're, before you continue, so you're saying you like to hear.
Oh,
from,
yes.
From me during the day.
Yes,
honey,
definitely.
I love you. I miss you. I can't wait to come home.
It communicates that you're thinking about me.
What you're doing. Okay, mm-hmm. So call during the day. You know, I do that pretty often. Uh-huh. I know when I fall short and it's been a while and I haven't called, you're like, what happened? But, you know, it's good. Text, you know, honey, I can't wait till you come home. Or, honey, I'm waiting for you. Come on home. You know, and that's definitely something encouraging. Okay.
Number two, affection during the day. Not just when it's time for that time.
Not just time for that time. What time is that?
Well, know what time is that. But, you know, just making sure that you are either rubbing, you know, each other's back or a kiss or just anything that communicate affection besides just, you know, time to be going to bed.
Okay. Well, we've talked about this before, and I know that a lot of women, usually mm-hmm. women feel this way, that if the affection is only shown right before it's time for that time, you know, then it communicates that it's just selfish. You're not really, it's not genuine. You're not truly showing me affection. You want something in return. And what you're talking about is just for no reason at all.
Just because.
Honey, I love you. Here's a hug. Here's mm-hmm. a kiss. Just want to tell you, you mean a lot to me. Okay, mm-hmm. well, we have Bernard here on the phone line. Bernard, good morning. You're live in the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good
we're
morning.
Doing great.
Tiffany, Marcos, y'all did it again.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? Tiffany is not with us this morning. I have my wife, Amaryllis, this morning
okay.
with us.
Okay.
But thank you so much. So you have something itching that you want to share with us this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to add my little piece. I don't think that true love never dies. I don't think you can lose it. But the key in marriage, in my estimation, you got to know the person that you're marrying. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't rush into that. You know what I mean? And when you fall out of love with a person, there's some things that you find out about that person that were not satisfying to you, and you find out that the person you thought they were, they're not. And then what happened to the love? You loved the person that maybe never was. You know,
okay.
that was my mm-hmm. situation. The person I thought my wife was, I didn't get to know her. I didn't get to know her like I should have. My mother told me, you don't know that girl. Don't marry her. I said, Mom, if she's the person I think she is, I got to marry her. And I went against what my mother told me to do. But the essence in a long-lasting marriage is to know who you're marrying. And that don't come overnight. So I don't believe you can lose love. Real love, they say, never dies. You know what I mean? So.
Well, that's true, Bernard. But, you know, when we refer back to the scriptures, you know, the whole Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3 are just kind of an evaluation that is being done to these churches, the seven churches, and it talks about the love that we have for God, or that the church has for God, and it talks about, you know, losing that love, or that love growing cold, or, you know, becoming lukewarm, which is at some point, you know, if something was hot and you leave it there and you don't really, you know, heat it up at all, like boiling water, and you just let, you turn off the temperature, you know, you turn off the fire on your stove, and then you just let it sit there. After a while, it's going to become lukewarm, and then it'll become room temperature because you're not adding anything to it. And so in terms of marriage, you know, there are, in my experience, there have been couples that we've counseled that have been very much in love, and they knew each other. But the reality is, you know, you would never get to know each other totally, just like we'll never know God totally. But every day you learn more about that person.
Yeah.
But what it sounds like you're telling us, Bernardo, is that you had a totally different picture, or you know, I guess, image in your heart, in your mind, of what this woman you married was. And then she actually turned out to be something totally, totally different.
No doubt, Marcus. But, I, you know, see, I had a perfect example. My mother and father stayed together till my dad passed away. They were together 60 years, man.
Oh, wow.
And it was just as hot. In the end, I see my dad walk by and pat her, you know what I mean? And with 10 children.
No, dad didn't do that in front of you. Okay.
You know what I mean? But I'm just saying that's a binding, you know what I mean? And Christ's love for us, we can't do anything to cause him not to love us.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And that's because he knows us. He knows what we need. He's a supply of all our needs. And he's willing to give it if we're willing to accept it. But in marriage, in my estimation, again, you got to really know as much about the person. And all I'm saying, in essence, don't rush into it like my mama told me, man. And I was a little older. I was in my 40s. I said, man, I got to hurry up with somebody else, grab this woman, man. You know, getting married and not knowing the person and finding out. I know it's sinful to live with a person before you are married.
Mm-hmm.
But to live with somebody that you don't know after you get married, my God, brother.
So basically, your advice from experience is don't rush into this. And we totally agree. Bernard, we thank you so much for calling this morning. And
thank
continue
you for the
to
hot
listen
topics,
to
too, Marco.
Appreciate
y'all
it.
Y'all know where y'all get them at. They be hot, man.
God bless you, Bernard.
God
thank
bless you.
You
likewise.
Have a great
you
Saturday.
And your wife, man. Right,
thank you.
Thank you. I think definitely I agree with Bernard to a certain extent. I think that, you know, we need to study each other out. And I think that a lot of times couples put all this energy in getting to know one another and even getting counseling prior to marriage. But then after they get married, it's like it's over. And they keep forgetting that we need to continually just be learning about each other and studying each other out and figuring out what works and communication and putting the same energy that was put when, you know, when they first met or when they first, you know, was so in love and wanting to get married. But it dies down if you don't put energy to it.
That's 100% right. So our encouragement to all our listeners is continue to put energy and love and your heart into your relationship. And, you know, you reap what you sow. We also have another caller here, Donna from the Philadelphia area. Good morning, Donna. Yeah. You're live on the air.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
I was calling because I was listening to your show talking about the marriage piece. And I was just wanted to comment that my husband and I have been together.
Donna, yes. Could you, is it possible, please turn your radio all the way down? We're getting a little feedback.
Yes, I just realized it. I was sitting in my car and didn't even realize it was up. I did.
Thank you.
Is that better?
That is. Thank you. We were getting some feedback there.
Oh, you're welcome. I just wanted to say my husband and I, it'll be 10 years August the 6th of this year, and our marriage is just as hot as it was when we first got married.
Amen.
But we work hard at it.
Mm-hmm.
We do not take our relationship for granted. I mean, we work hard at it. And our relationship has been, like, really down, too, like, in really, like, the bottom pit of where, you know, it's like, oh, man, do I really want to do this? But you know what held us together and what continues to hold us together is we remembered that we took a vow before God.
Mm.
And it's a promise that we made God that we would do this until death do us part.
That's
and
right.
So we do some of the things that I heard you talking about. We talk to each other at least once or twice a day. One of us will always call the other one and say, babe, I love you. Everything okay? What's going on today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the mornings, we always say, is there anything you need? We have recently, over the last 2 years, started praying together every day.
Great.
You know, I mean, we try to remember to put in the principles that God has taught us. we try to apply them in our marriage. And this is a second marriage for both of us. Both of us have first marriages that totally did not work out. And I know for me, I didn't even ask God when I got married the first time. Mm-hmm. It was something I just wanted to do. And it didn't work out. And I waited for God to send me the right person. And it has been rough. I'm not going to say marriage was easy, because it wasn't. But it has been so worthwhile.
That's
and
great.
So rewarding. And we both laugh about that a lot. You know, we tell people our testimony. I'm a pastor. He's a reverend. And we tell people our testimony whenever God allows us to. And we tell them, you know, you have got to remember it was a promise to God.
Mm-hmm. And that is great. You know, we love to hear that type of testimony, because too often we hear single folks saying, you know what, I don't know if I want to get married. One of the excuses that people have, unfortunately, for living together or shacking up is that, oh, you know, once you get married, you know, that's it. You know, it goes downhill from there, which is a lie from Satan. It's not true.
Yes, it is.
The reality is that once you stop working at it and you're not appreciating each other anymore and you forget that vow that you made to God, then it starts going downhill. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate your call. We appreciate this great testimony and the realness that you shared with us here on the air.
Thank you. You guys be blessed, man.
Thank you, Donna.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Making a vow, you know, I think that that is so, so crucial. When the Bible is the standard, that is never an issue, because you remember who the vow was made to. First of all, prior to making it to each other, it's making it to God. So I think it's so, so crucial that the vow is made to God and keeping it real, too. I think that there's been so many weddings that Marcos have done that some of them I just sat there and I'm like, do you hear yourself what you're saying? You know, so many unrealistic vow or commitment then it's like, you know, that's going to go out the window, after the honeymoon.
And I think what you're referring to is when people have their own personal vows. When I'm officiating a wedding and they, you know, they speak from their heart or they have something written down, they're like, honey, I promise to always do this and always. And you're like, okay, here we go. Is that absolute word? You know, you want to avoid absolutes in a relationship. Always or never, you know, those are fighting words, because you're like, honey, you promise you will always do this, and here's this one time you fell short. How dare you? You know, you promise. It's like, you know, make a promise you can keep, and you know, it's like, I'll make every effort, honey. I would be close to God and then close to you, but you know, we're people, so you want to make sure. And then the other thing is, on the flip side, when you're having an argument or a sharp disagreement, don't use the word never. You know, you never call.
Always.
Well, you know, you call one time, you can't say never anymore. You know, so you want to make sure that you don't use those absolute words. You know, what else do you have there on the list?
Well, number three, go on dates. And you could make some very creative dates. You know, it could going out on the picnic, you know, going out for a picnic. This is a beautiful weather just to be spontaneous. You know, go to the movies, go to the zoo, do different things that not necessarily means that you have to spend a lot of money, but be very creative. You know, go on dates the way that you used to go on dates prior to getting married.
So you're saying that after marriage, that you just continue to go on dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something we love to do. And, you know, after children, especially, and life gets busy, it's harder to do. But just like you used to look forward to going on dates together, you know, plan those things, you know, do something. And not just Mother's Day or special occasions, because those days can actually be very stressful. You go, you wait online forever, and, you know, then it becomes expensive. And then it's like, okay, I'm not doing this again until next year. So you want to make sure you have fun together. And one of the things we encourage couples to do all the time is don't focus so much on what you're doing. Focus on the fact that you're spending time together.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if you go to a movie, I mean, that's really not the best date to go on, because you don't really get to talk unless you're one of those people that love to talk during the movie and then everyone else hates the fact that you're talking. But, you know, you really don't go there. But if you go to a movie, then go have dinner afterwards or have a cup of coffee or some tea or
go
for a walk. You know, those things mean a lot. You know, it makes a difference in the relationship. You're adding to it. You're building. You're getting to know one another even more and more during the marriage, not just before the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Number four, for no reason, just because, on your way home, pick up some flowers. I mean, I love when Marcos does that. You know, I come and I wake up and I say good morning, and then I look at the table and I see a nice, beautiful arrangement, or upstairs in the room, or, you know, in different parts of the house. Or pick up a card, you know, make a card, you know, send an email, something, you know, but Be very creative for no reason, just because express your love.
Well, what I was going to say, a lot of men, you know, the infamous flower thing, it's usually after an argument. It's like, okay, I got to make up now, so here are the flowers. So don't just do it after, like, you're trying to make up for something. Here's the flowers, because then it's like, it's not as special. But just for no apparent reason, just because I love you, because I thought about you. And I think just in general, gifts, I mean, even something really small, like, honey, I was thinking about you, and this reminded me of us, or it reminded me of you. On the flip side, you know, I don't think most men don't really want flowers. So find out other things.
A card.
And you know what? Yeah. For some reason, food seems to do it a lot of times.
That's my next one.
You're like, oh, here, I thought of you. And guess what I bought? Oh, guess what I'm making for you? You know, that makes a huge difference. You know, food is one of those things that, oh, my goodness. I think you won part of my heart. You won over by cooking. So we'll get to that one. But another thing I wanted to mention here about the flowers. I remember we got to a point in our relationship, I would say maybe about 2 years into our marriage. And honey, you told me, you know what? Flowers are expensive. You were looking at the finances. You're like, I don't really want flowers anymore. You're like, they don't do much for me. And I was like, really? All this time? That's how you felt? So I, you know, I took you for your word, and I stopped buying the flowers. And I think it must have been a few months later. You're like, you know what, honey? I changed my mind. I really do miss those flowers. Please buy me something. It meant something. But, you know, I think that's the fun part. You know, get to know even what you like.
Being honest, like, yeah.
Being honest. I appreciate that you, at that point, you felt like, I don't think I want this. But then when that changed,
yes.
You were like, please buy me something. Even one flower. Bring me a carnation, something. But, you know, it makes a difference there. And, you know, we have a time just for one more here before we go to a break. What else we got here?
You know, you were mentioning about food. There's something about food, you know, make his or her favorite meal. And I know for that, for Mother's Day, you went all out, honey. Marcus loves to grill, so he went and got me some good steak, expensive steak. And set the table, and I mean, made it very, very special. And that means a lot, because it takes a lot of thought for somebody to go out and purchase and make it at home, not just go buy it. I'm not talking about going, you know, go to Burger King or, KFC, but take the time, make something at home, make it special, something that is meaningful and that it takes some effort.
Well, that was good. And, you know, I felt a little selfish because that steak was pretty good for me, too. So I don't know if I did it for you or for us, but really, the goal was that, you know, we would have spent so much money going out to dinner. It meant a lot more just to have our time together as a family to encourage you. And so I think that was the best move for us to do. You know, make something that shows appreciation to the other person. Once again, we're getting ready in just a moment to go to our commercial break. But while we are on break, please give us a call. If you're in the Charlotte area, call us at 877-995-7644. Or in Philadelphia, 215-263-1039. More Marriage Beyond the Vows after this. Rose Mercado, along with my wife, Amaryllis, here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. And this morning, we're talking about the temperature of your marriage. Is your marriage hot, cold, or lukewarm? And we do want to hear from you. So if you're in the Charlotte area, give us a call. Pick up that phone and call 877-995-7644. Or in the Philadelphia area, call us at 215-263-1039. What is the temperature of your marriage? You know, the climate of your marriage, you know, says a lot. And as a matter of fact, it says a lot if you're not sure of the temperature of your marriage. What would you say, honey, if someone calls or they're thinking and they're like, you know what? I'm not sure. Is my marriage hot, cold? Is it lukewarm? What would that say to you? If someone were to ask, honey, or ask me, what is the temperature of your marriage? And I say, I don't know.
That tells me that they're not in touch.
Okay.
If they're not putting any effort. They're not working. They're not communicating. There's something wrong in that marriage. You know, and it needs to be fixed. Okay. So,
well, chances are that if you're not sure, it's because it's not hot. Something's wrong. Something's going south. And you want to make sure that it's not heading in that direction. So we want to encourage you. We want to hear from you. Call us for any comments, any input, any advice. You know, or just even to share your own testimony, or you sharing where you feel like your marriage is right now at this time. You know, right now we're going to continue on and go to some callers. We have Yvette from the Westchester area. Yvette, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Yvette.
You're live on the air.
I'm doing fine, thank you. And yourself?
We're doing great. And you have a question or a comment for us this morning?
Well, I'm listening to your station. For once, this is the first time I really listened to the station.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My friend was the one who recommended me to the station. She was telling me the music and everything, how good it is. I really like it, and I really do like it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And listening to you about your marriage and everything, I can tell you that my marriage is hot.
Oh, great.
Oh, great.
Well, first of all, we want to say thank you for listening. And would you share with us how do you come to that conclusion? You know, how do you keep it hot, and how do you decide that it's hot?
One thing, my husband and I, we lived together first for 10 years before we got married.
Okay.
So actually, all together, we've been now together for 28 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, 28.
Married for 18 years. As soon as we got a house, we got married and everything. We got a house in April, and in May, we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three lovely children, which they're already adults, and they're all in their own marriage life.
Great.
And I'm not saying it was perfect, because it wasn't perfect. We had a lot of, you know, hit a lot of rocks and everything at the beginning.
Sure.
Because we both had to grow up and everything together. But, you know, I myself had to get help for one thing, because I was really with low esteem of myself, because I went through a rough marriage the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got married young, and I was abused, you know, abused as a child, sexually. I was abused as a wife and everything else. And God must have brought me this man. I'm telling you, he must have brought this man into my past. Because mm-hmm. he helped me raise my two daughters, and we had a son. And I can't complain about him. I mean, he did some wrong, but nobody's perfect in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we worked through everything. And I needed help myself, and he helped me through the whole thing. And always been there for me no matter what happened. With mm-hmm. my family, with my children and everything, and I can't complain about him. He's the best thing that God sent to me, that's for sure. I am blessed with this husband of mine. And our kids are all, you know, living, like I said, they're all living on their own now and everything, and I think our marriage has gotten even more closer now, because now we actually got to spend more time together. And, you know, and we both work for a shift, which is heck, it is crazy, but, you know, we always make our time for each other. He gets up. You know, when we get up, he's downstairs, he's making coffee, make sure I got my coffee.
Come on.
You know? Well, that's good. That's good. You know, Yvette, one thing I want to mention to you is, you know, obviously we really advocate for people to go and use the Bible as their standard. And so we don't encourage people to live together first, but we do at the same time want to commend that step
it's
that you
true,
took.
It's true.
But, mm-hmm. you know, it is a great thing, though, that at some point you got to the, you know, for some reason, you decided, you know
to
what?
Do what is right.
We're not just going to live together. Mm-hmm. We need to go ahead and make this official, make it right, and get married. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
I think a lot had to do, too, that I was kind of afraid because of what I went through with my first one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, and he said, you know, he said when he gave me the engagement ring, he said, before we get married, I want to get a house, and then we get married. And we did that. We did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and my kids did the same thing, that they live together. And it's not something that you should not. You should be, you know, get married before you do live together. But they all got married.
That's good.
They all did get married, and they haven't, you know, they're happy. They got the little up and down. But like I said, when there's true love in a marriage and you have faith in God, things will work out. And you said, and mm-hmm. I tell my kids all the time, the only thing I tell them was that when they got married was to make sure they always be honest with each other, no matter what it is. If it has to do with something dumb that you did in the house, whatever it is, just make
Absolutely.
Sure you always be honest with each other about everything.
Okay, well, and Yvette, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate so much everything you had to share. We wish you many, many more years of happy marriage, especially now that you're empty nesters. We hope and pray that you enjoy this time together.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, and continue to listen. Have a great day. Amen. You know, it's great to know, honey, that even though people might not start off right and they have mm-hmm. a rocky relationship, that at some point they realize, you know what? Marriage is what they need to do. It's right. It's what God designed and mm-hmm. what he expects from us, to make that vow and that commitment before you spend that time together
mm-hmm.
or before you move in together. You know, make sure that you make that vow before God and before witnesses as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so encouraging to hear callers and to hear, you know, just in talking with people, how more and more people are taking marriage on more serious. You know, you hear more encouraging stories of people that have been together and yeah, hasn't been all smooth and everything hasn't gone, you know, all, you know, fairy tale. They have had their ups and downs, but to know that they are still together, sticking it through all the way to the end. And it's very encouraging. I call us like Yvette, 18 years being married, and to know that, you know, empty nester now, and to know that they are investing more time in their marriage and making it what it needs to be.
That's correct. That's great. You know, we want to continue to hear from you. So again, if you're in the Charlotte area, give us a call at 877-995-7644 or 215-263-1039 in the Philadelphia area. Our next caller is from Charlotte. Her name is Edra. Edra, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi, we're doing great. Is this Edra?
Yes, this is she.
Hi, and what is your question or comment this morning?
I don't have a question. Well, I do have a question, but basically, me and my boyfriend, we've been together for 9 to 10 years.
Okay.
And we've been living together the whole time, and Yvette kind of touched on what I was going to say. My boyfriend and I would say our relationship is lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just recently redevoted myself to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he believes in God, but doesn't pray in my presence. I don't know if he actually prays, mm-hmm. but he doesn't go to church, and he refused to go anything that has to do with church. And I just have been praying for him to turn his life over to the Lord, and I believe that when and if he does, our relationship will be hot.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a good guy. He takes care of me and my kids, and he's not their father, but he's been with me
mm-hmm.
for as long as I've had them.
Okay.
So I thank God for that. And I just want to ask you guys to pray for our relationship
mm-hmm.
and pray that we can make it right and get married. I guess I have been waiting just for the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I want to encourage you, Edra. It's a very, you know, kind of controversial but also very dangerous path you're taking because, you know, on one side, it sounds like you really are, you know, striving to draw closer to God. You say you're recommitted. And then on the other side, you have your boyfriend at this time, and yet you're not yet married, yet you live together. You know, and the scriptures are very clear. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about not being yoked together with an unbeliever. Because what happens is, even if you were to go ahead and get married at this point, and you're saying your marriage is lukewarm or your relationship is lukewarm, and then, mm-hmm. you know, that will carry over to the marriage. And so it sounds like what you kind of mentioning it there a little bit, you're really hoping and praying that he would draw closer to God.
Mm.
And you know what? It the only way, or not the only way, but the greatest chance he has is to see you totally trusting the scriptures.
Yes.
To say, you know what? What we're doing is not right. I have to do this for God. And what I've seen, or my wife and I have seen, and even counseling couples in your situation, is that all of a sudden the other spouse says, wow, why is she so serious about this? You know,
mm-hmm.
why all of a sudden you're taking the Bible so serious? And that either, here's the risk, it either will push him away further or it'll pull him in closer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've seen husbands come or boyfriends come to church, you know, upset, or even girlfriends crying. Oh, they don't want to be with me. And it's like, that's not true. They want to be with you, but they want to be with God first. And then sometimes that has opened up doors and people have drawn closer to God because of it. And I really want to encourage you, you know, read the scriptures and apply them when it comes to your relationship, because you have an amazing opportunity there. It sounds like, you know, he's a great provider. Sounds like he loves you and mm-hmm. he's committed to you in this relationship. So my encouragement is, you know, really build a solid foundation. And in order to do that, you need to make sure that you put the scriptures into practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How can I encourage him to come closer to God?
Well, let me ask you this. What do you do when, let's say, and you know, I'm going to get a little personal here, but, you know, he wants to have an intimate relationship and you're like, you know, this is not right. We're not married. And if you put your foot down and say, you know, honey, I love you, but I need to do what God says. So we can't be involved physically.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think his response will be?
He'd probably think I was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think that I've been told that just to continue to do what I'm doing as far as going to church, going to Bible studying, going to prayer meeting, and praying at home.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, he will see the change in me, and he's going to want what I want, what I've got, and that hopefully he'll lean towards what I'm doing, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Mm. Well, you know, our advice is based on the scriptures.
Yes.
You know, the scripture talks about putting God first. And right. So, you know, what you're saying, continue what you're doing. Well, yes, keep praying. You know, going to church makes a difference as far as, you know, if it's a church that's trying to follow the scriptures. But you really, at some point, you got to make a decision. Are you going to obey the scriptures?
Yes.
And so it sounds like, Edra, you can't have both. I mean, if you're putting God first, there are going to be some, you know, serious decisions you're going to make that are going to affect your relationship. And so we want to encourage you to, you know, be bold and courageous and be faithful and trust God with it.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about being wicked and saying, you know, hey, I don't love you anymore, I'm leaving you or whatever. We're talking about just saying, being honest and saying, I love you, but I really want to do this right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can really open his eyes and saying, wait a minute, why? Why all of a sudden are you so radical about this? And even if his intentions initially are not, you know, pure motives, but he might come to church with you just upset. Maybe he wants to talk to the preacher, like, hey, what are you doing to my wife? You know, what are you teaching her? And then he can go back and see, wait a minute, we need to build a solid foundation based on the scriptures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, Edra, you know, it's a little bit of alarming, and I think that it needs to alarm you that the relationship already is lukewarm. And that's without even being married. And I think that is it could go one or two ways. It could go either to get hot or it could get cold. And we've seen plenty of couples dating that if the foundation and if God is not the center of the marriage, that is, it just does not work. And I agree with my husband 100%. You got to be willing to trust God and to trust that God knows what is best for you. That if this is the man for you, that he on his own, not the motivation being you, or even you, your motivation being him to go and seek a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, Edra, hopefully this has helped you. And we hope and pray that you make the best decision, you know, in following the scriptures.
Oh, yes, it's helped. And I want to say God bless you both. And thank you.
Well, thank you. And continue to listen.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too, Edra.
Yeah.
Take care. Bye.
Well, you know, it's amazing. You know, sometimes we want our relationship to be hot based on the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a fling, and there actually studies have been done where even an affair or a fling, it can actually be a hot relationship, but it only lasts so
for
long.
A moment. Yeah.
I believe in research shows that even the most, I would say, the adventurous affair, you know, like Hollywood tries to show, you know, oh, you got to have an affair because that's passionate and that's adventurous. And you know what? In some cases, in research that has shown that it's true. You can have this kind of passion and this amazing hot relationship, but it only lasts no more than 2 years. And then it comes back, you know, it's back to reality. You see the other person's faults. And in no shape, way, or form are we advocating that you go ahead and have an affair. But we're talking about the fact that God wants something that's long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Satan always wants to give us that quick fix. You know, that's what it is. That's what temptation is. You know, have it now. You know, pay later. And you don't really want that when it comes to marriage, because you're making a vow to spend the rest of your life together. And once that honeymoon phase
it's
is
over,
it's like, okay, here's reality. You wake up next to each other every day, then you have children together, and then challenges will come.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the storms will come. And so what do you do there? You can stand firm if you remember that vow you made to God and if you go back to the scriptures. You know, we have another caller here from Levittown, Pennsylvania. Eileen, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. God bless your ministry.
Thank you.
What I have found is I'm thankful that my husband and I have a Christian marriage. We based it on Christ from the beginning. And I know that's where our strength is at. When my husband asked me to marry him, we were friends. and very attracted to each other. We had a chemistry, but I did something that the old saints used to call fleecing the Lord.
Okay.
And I told them I got to put it all before the Lord. I got to fleece the Lord and really come up with a, to know if this is for us or not. And it took about 3 months before I could honestly tell him yes. But every day I petitioned the Lord. I said, God, you know our hearts. It's desperately wicked. You called it that. And if 30 years down the road he's going to be wrong for me, then take us apart right now. Don't put us together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm going to be wrong for him, take us apart. But if we're meant to be, knit us together. And he has done that. But we've been together almost 25 years. And what I have found personally as a Christian woman is when I'm intimate with the Lord, it reflects in my marriage.
Mm.
And when I don't have that intimacy with the Lord, I'll look and I'll see something. Maybe I'm disappointed in my husband. But the Lord always corrects me and shows me, well, when was the last time you were intimate with me?
Mm.
When was the last time, you know, you sought me out? All the things I think I want from him, the Lord always shows me that when you don't have those things with me, why would you expect it to be there? So having a Christian marriage is almost like a barometer. It shows you your walk with the Lord. It humbles you. As a Christian woman, it shows you to petition the Lord rather than find people fighting. I put my faith in the Lord. I put my tears. I put my joy
mm-hmm.
on the Lord. And he always corrects me first. Anytime, even a slight thing, because I try to really watch my walk before the Lord, because I just don't want to be ashamed when I see him.
Okay, well,
and sometimes maybe my feelings are a little bit hurt or I'm just tired. And I say, oh, Lord, you know, I'm so tired. And did he remember this or did he do that? And immediately the Lord shows me myself. He's like, well, you know, did you do this for me?
That's
when was the last time you sought me out?
Well, Eileen,
or was really intimate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Eileen, we thank you so much. We're getting ready to go into a commercial break in just a moment. But we do want to say thank you so much. And I love that about fleecing.
It's well needed.
Thank you.
God bless you.
We appreciate it. And God bless you. God bless you. You know, honey, that fleecing the Lord, she says something the old saints used to do. I mean, it's very biblical. You and I call it, you know, praying that scary prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we got married, we said, God, you know, I know what I want or what we want, but we don't want to do our will. We want your will. So make it clear, you know, break us up, you know, make it clear if we're not meant for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard to do because, you know, when you have your heart made up and you want something so much, it's very easy to overlook the signs.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember even in our relationship, honey, you know, we decided to even postpone our wedding just to make sure we waited. We were supposed to get married on February 14th, Valentine's Day. You know, 1998, and we decided to postpone, and we ended up getting married in August
mm-hmm.
1st. And so, but it's been great. I'm glad we did it. It made such a difference in our families' lives. I remember we thought even our families, they're going to think we're crazy. We lost our mind. But my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, she was so impressed. She's like, wow, I can't believe
mm-hmm.
you guys are really trusting God with your relationship. And that called her, and it woke her up spiritually, where she decided, you know, to give her life to God
mm-hmm.
because of the example that she saw in us. And so, you know what? You can never go wrong when you decide to trust God in the relationship. And so, once again, you know, give us a call. We're going to a commercial break at this moment. But please, we encourage you to stay on the line, listen up, and give us a call as well. More Marriage Beyond the Vows after this.